Okay, yeah, let's pray. Father, once again, we want to just take a moment out just to bless you, just to thank you, just to praise you, to honor you and to say thank you. Thank you so much for your incredible way of saving us from our sin, bringing us into your family and the incredible working of yours in enabling us to become this new creation in your Son Jesus Christ. We're not even scratching the surface yet of the depth and the truth and the value, the worth, the glory of what it is to be in your Son Jesus, this new creation. But we want to thank you as your Holy Spirit writes and shares with us. We walk into more of your grace and more of your understanding and more of the revelation and the freedom and the joy and the wow and just marveling at who you are. So we want to thank you, Father, for how you just love us, how you just love to take so much delight in revealing yourself to us as your children and enabling us to be able to understand and to just so appreciate and participate in your divine nature. It's such a joy. And we want to thank you. And so today, Father, as your children, we sit with you and we just want to just take this next hour or so just to love you and be loved by you. As someone shared earlier on Tuesday in worship and everything, it's time for you to kiss us and us to kiss you in an incredible intimate way. And we want to thank you for this through Jesus Christ, that this has all become a reality, and we give you the praise and glory. Amen. 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 Yeah. This morning we're going to be going on a little bit of a different path, but it's the same. and I want to just share some scriptures, and it's probably at this morning is more of a time just to, in a sense, to connect the dots and just praise God and to bless his holy name and just to appreciate and value his incredible love in his dealings with us. And in Psalm 103, we read there, and it's, for me, it's always been a very precious psalm, where it's the Psalm of David, and he begins there, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being." That's what his soul is, his innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Maybe this morning you and I need to speak to us inside this body. Come on, it's time to praise the Lord. It's time to praise his holy name. Verse 2, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And this is what our Father's wanting us just to take heed, to pay attention to. Forget not all his benefits. And then from the rest of the chapter, David starts to name some of the benefits: who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And then we carry on, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all," and it goes on and on and on. And there's, you know, I thought of you, Yvonne, as well, all the parents over there, because there's an amazing promise over here, the benefits of God. It goes on, verse 17, "From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children." Incredible promises of God. And so I believe today God wants to just encourage us, just to take the time to bless him. And Peter writes the same thing. And so we're going to spend a bit of time in 2 Peter chapter 1, because what Paul has been speaking to us, as the Spirit of God has been communicating and sharing with us through what Paul wrote there in Romans, Peter is saying the same thing, but just in his way of communicating as he is led by the Holy Spirit. And so you will see what we have learnt in Romans. Peter's just putting it over here as well. And I'm going to go through Peter because it's just from a different person and a different way of communicating. And sometimes we need that to just, wow, okay. And to be able to take that moment to just bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not, forget not, forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our sins. And as you can recall, we were looking at the good news of God, and the good news of God is full of benefits. It's truly good. And he wants us to just to receive and to celebrate his goodness and his righteousness and just him as our Father, as our God. And we get to this place over here where Peter is writing, and he says over there in chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, sorry, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Now, just to start opening up a little bit here, because what Peter is saying in the bottom of here, let me just get to you what he says over there in verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things. Remember Psalm 103, forget not the benefits of salvation. And so Peter is writing for as a purpose there. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it's right to refresh your memories as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as the Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. And so you can see over there that it, throughout scripture there, the importance of remembering, the importance of not forgetting the benefits of salvation, not forgetting the works of God in one's life. And that's why we have, for instance, the communion. Remember, everything that Jesus speaks is full of life. It's a way, it's the truth, and the life. So when he speaks about having communion, it's a way of life. It's when he says about being baptized, it's life there. It's all life, life, life. And in the communion as well, it's about the time of celebrating, forgetting not the benefits of salvation, participating by faith in the reality of his death and resurrection and his ascension and this new life in Christ. And it's that celebration. And so it's a bless the Lord, O my soul, is a very strong theme throughout scripture. And sometimes you and I, let's face it, we get caught up in the day-to-day living, that slowly but surely we forget about the incredible acts of God in our lives. And so it's just good to just take a moment out and again just to remember, just to celebrate, to pause and to just reflect on the goodness of God, on his activities of God in one's life, and to say to your soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And so he carries on and he says over there in verse 1, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Now, when we read this, and this will be helpful for many folk, because one can read a verse and just say, okay, but let's ask the questions to those. Who are those? What does the word through mean? To those who through the righteousness, what does this word through, what does it actually mean? How does this work? See, these are the questions one asks in getting a deeper revelation of what the Spirit of God wants to share with you and I. So we don't just read a verse and just, okay, that's it. We take time and we look at the words and we focus and we ask the questions, what is the Spirit of God actually saying to the body of Christ? Okay. And so the word through, just for instance, the word through, this will be very helpful. The word through is not just what we read over here. There's a far deeper understanding of this word through, because this word through is really about, it means about within. It is a condition in which something operates from the inside. It is the reality of what's inside, and it's the reality of its power, of its operation that's taking place within inside. Now here we see that inside of God is righteousness, because God is righteous. So it's speaking about who He is. He is a righteous God. And so from the inside of God, righteousness is operating. Righteousness is working. It's not something that the faith and all this is operating just because it's operating. No, because it's who God is. And so everything that God does, it's right, it's correct, it does not contradict the very character, the very holiness, the very righteousness of God. And so what Peter is busy unfolding now, we know that it's from the inside of God, it's from who He is, the righteousness of God is operating, and God's action towards you and I, God's response, God's dealing with you and I, is coming from the reality. It's right. It's totally righteous. It's in line with His holiness, His perfection, everything. There's nothing that God does that contradicts His very nature, the unity of who He is, the oneness of who He is. So for instance, when God brings the flood there in Noah's time, there's no contradiction to His grace, to His mercy, to His kindness. There's no contradiction at all. It's working all from within Him. It's because God is one. God is God. Okay, I hope you can understand what I'm saying over here. But here we see that Peter is writing it, yeah, to those who, through this inner working, the condition, the state of God, this righteous state of God, He does something through His Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us a faith. But it says there that we have received a faith. And so God has given us a faith. This righteous God, in His dealing with us, has given us a faith to be able to respond, to be able to believe, to be able to come into a living relationship with Him, as precious, as valuable as ours. So for every believer, so here, I think here already is a time where you can just pause and, wow, God, I want to bless the Lord, my innermost being, for the fact that in your incredible righteousness, who you are, you have given us a faith. You've given me a faith that's precious. You've given me, you've responded, it's a gift that you have given to me, and I value this gift of faith because by this faith, you become real to me. See, take time and bless the Lord for this incredible faith that He's giving. Then in verse 2, He carries on. And this, we spoke about some time back, where we speak about grace upon grace. We speak about abundant grace. But how does it work? What is this? Verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is an incredible truth worthy to pause and bless the Lord. Because again, what do we see over here? Here we see that from the very inner being, from who God is, this righteous God, from this working within him, he has now given us a faith, and something takes place with the faith. Remember when we go back to Romans chapter 5, that's why all the time, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The same, Peter is saying the same thing over here. We have received a faith. God has given us a faith. And because of this faith, we have been justified because we simply believe in Jesus Christ, in the righteousness of God. We have been credited his righteousness. The same that what Paul is writing there in Romans chapter 5. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Incredible. How? Well, again, he has that word through. It's the inner working that's taking place in our lives, because you and I, since we simply believe, we have received the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit is the inner working, is working within us. The Holy Spirit, through the knowledge of God, the Holy Spirit is giving us a knowledge of God. Again, this knowledge is the experiential knowledge. It is the contact knowledge they often use. It's the knowledge the Holy Spirit has imparted into you, and with this knowledge, there's a faith, and God is real. God is just so awesome, and Jesus is so real. It's just making it so real to you and I. That's what we're talking about. It's this relational knowledge that the Spirit of God is this relational communication that's taking place with the Spirit of God working within you and I as a believer. This is what's taking place. And every time the Holy Spirit is giving us an understanding, revealing to us a truth about God, about our Lord Jesus Christ, what's taking place? Faith comes from hearing. There's faith. And it's by faith we now step into this realm of grace. So grace and peace be yours in abundance through that knowledge of God and about of Jesus, our Lord. So as the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you and I, this working from within us, what takes place? We are responding, and every time we receive, we are walking more in the reality of this grace in which we stand, of this peace. Truth sets free. That part of that freedom is also the reality of peace. And so this is the joy. It's worthy to stop and pause and say, wow, bless the Lord, my innermost being, that I can walk in the reality of your Holy Spirit, working in within me, writing truth within me, so that I can walk into more and more of your grace of yours, more and more into the reality of peace. In abundance, there's no stinginess about this grace and this peace that God gives to you and I. You and I can walk in the abundance. And this is profound, because whether we are walking into success, we need grace and peace to handle success. Whether we're walking into a challenge, you and I need grace and peace and abundance to walk through those areas over there. And the Holy Spirit will share with us the ways of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit communicates to you and I in the inside. See, it's always about the inside. He's dealing with your spirit. He's dealing with your soul. He's dealing with your inside. And he's communicating this incredible truth about the Father, about the Son. And wow, we receive that. And as we step into that, we experience more grace, more peace, and we live in more grace and more peace. And that's how it grows. That's how grace upon grace. And that, and then he carries on, and in verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now, yeah, you'll see the connection very strongly with Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8, where the reality of coming, being set free from the old humanity that was in Adam and now being a new creation in Christ Jesus, now the participation in his divine nature, because in his death we died to the old man, to the old sinful, to the power of sin. We've died to the power of law. In his resurrection, you and I have been raised with him. And Peter is just again now just writing it in his own way, as the Holy Spirit has inspired him and directed him to write this. And so his divine power. Now, what is this divine power? Well, we know divine is dealing with deity, dealing with God. And this divine power, what it actually means is it's manifesting the characteristics of God nature. In other words, it's manifesting the incredible characteristics of God's nature. Because in the context now, this divine power that's at work within us, it's the working of God in us. It's the reality of the new creation. Remember in Ephesians chapter 4 that we have been created to be like him, this new creation, to be like him in true righteousness, in true holiness. And here we see over here that now his divine power, it's God's working within us. It's God's power, the Spirit of God manifesting the characteristics of God's nature in us. So he has given us this. He has given us everything we need for godly life. You see the connection over here. This is the connection now where Peter, Paul writes over there that because we've died with him and we've been raised with him, we're no longer slaves to that old sinful man in Adam. We've been set free. Now we've got this new nature. Now we are now slaves to righteousness. That's why, guys, when believers, the big fight against this and from the religious mindset is that we've got to have rules and regulations, otherwise the believers will go crazy and chaotic and that there. No, when you, by faith, when you walk in this grace of God does not enable us, does not empower us to sin. It does the opposite. Because this grace of God, it's his divine power. It's his characteristics. It's his nature. It's operating within us that enables us to live a godly life. This is what's taking place. And that's why we escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires in verse 4. So this is what it is. The incredible freedom when we look there in Romans chapter 1 and we look there in verse 1, and we saw over there that this good news of God, and then verse 16 and 17 onwards there, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation. Forget not the benefits of salvation. See, because this is what it's all about. It is God who has taken us, he's rescued us from this incredible dominion of sin, from this being captured by this the old fallen nature that we could not escape from. And so here we see now, because what he has done, we have been taken out of that reality in Christ Jesus. His divine power is at work within us. God has given us everything we need. Everything, because he is in us. We are a new creation, created to be like him in righteousness and holiness. Everything he has given to us, we walk with him. We need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now we can go on more and more over there, but the Holy Spirit has given us the revelation of Christ. The revelation of the righteousness in Christ Jesus. We simply believe, we have received, and now we find this incredible gift of God. He has given us everything we need because we have the Holy Spirit within us and this power of God manifesting his very nature within us is operating. The fruit of the Spirit, in other words, is the reality for us. through these. What does it mean through these? Well, through these is God's own glory and goodness. Through God's own glory, through God's own goodness, through who he is. This is who he is. This is from the inside. This is his being, his glory and his goodness. He has given us his very great and precious promises throughout from the time of Adam's sin and Eve's sin. God promised the Messiah, Christ Jesus. And throughout scripture, we see the incredible promises of God concerning Jesus Christ and the coming Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to live in the reality of this new covenant. And so these are the very precious promises out of his goodness, out of his glory. He has given us his very great and precious promise so that through them, through these incredible, not only the promises, through his own glory, through his own goodness, through them, you and I, as we simply believe, as the Spirit of God has given us the revelation of Jesus Christ, has opened up the meaning of the promises of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, through us believing what takes place, we may participate in the divine nature, taken out of the Adamic nature, placed into Christ Jesus, and now you and I participate in the new nature in Christ Jesus. And that's why we have everything we need for a godly life. This is worthy to be praised. This is worthy to stop and say, God, this is what you've done. You've set me free from being under the power of sin. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Forget not the benefits of salvation. You've forgiven all my sins. Forget not. And it's time just to pause and to thank God for his incredible involvement in our lives. And then he carries on because there's so much more. And then through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And we've looked at that in quite a lot in Romans chapter 5, Romans 6, Romans 7, and in Romans 8, the incredible reality of identifying and being in union with Christ's death and resurrection. We've been raised now to live this new life. And now we have, in Romans 8, now it's about the law of the Spirit of life and not the law of sin and death. And so now you and I, Peter just writing it differently, having escaped the corruption now because you and I are no longer in the law of sin and death. We're no longer in Adam and the consequences of that guilt and that sin of Adam. We're in Christ Jesus. We're living in the consequences of the righteousness of Jesus Christ so that now we have escaped. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation. What is the good news? It is God taking us out of the consequences of sin, the effects of sin, and the guilt, and that through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what Peter is writing over there. And then he goes on, and that's tremendous victory, because to know that we are free, to know that we're no longer slaves to that old sinful nation, to know that we can say no to sin, we can say yes to righteousness. What incredible freedom that we have. The unsaved cannot. They have no ability to say no to sin. They've got no ability. Only us as believers can say no to sin. That's incredible. You see, that's powerful. And that's why we light. That's why we shine. That's why we are holy priesthood. That's why we're this unique people that just shine and bring glory to God. And then in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Now, this is an incredible truth. What does it mean? Well, this word "add," you know, when you look, it's used in a classical Greek in that time, where you take a song and now you start to add the instruments and it becomes this incredible grand piece with a full orchestra. That's what it's saying over here. You and I have received a precious gift. Okay? That's the faith reality that you and I have. Now, the rest is what Peter writes over here. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. As you and I, we live in by the Spirit, now keep in step. This is what Peter's writing over there. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith that as you and I keep in step with the Holy Spirit, the incredible manifestation, the divine power of God, the characteristic, the manifestation of the characteristics of the nature of God is manifesting through our lives, making this gift of faith that we have received beautiful. Because the only thing that counts is faith being expressed through love. Okay, and this is what Peter is writing of here, because all of this here is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is the working of the Holy Spirit within us as believers, because we simply believe. And so that's why Paul writes in Galatians 5 that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Peter's just writing it in a different way. And see, because that's our response. We have to keep in step by our yieldedness, by our intimacy, by just saying yes to the Holy Spirit, by offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's our yes all the time. This is now for this very reason, because of what God has done, because he's taken us out, because he's put his nature in us, because he's given us faith, because all of what he's done, now you and I, we now keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Now verse 8. For if you possess these qualities, that word possess means if you take them in, if you let it be established within you. What does Jesus speak about when he speaks about the parable of the sower? It's a very important teaching that, because when he speaks about the parable of the sower, he says in verse 12, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Speaking about this fruitfulness that Peter is writing over there. If you possess his qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we're dealing with this knowledge of revelation and walking in the reality of the revelation, experiencing the breakthrough, experiencing the fruit, experiencing the power of the of what the Spirit of God has shared, and that. And so we are very, very fruitful. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. We have died to the law in order for us to bear fruit for God. See, this is the same thing that Peter is writing over here, what Paul wrote there in chapter, in Romans chapter 7, also in Romans chapter 6. If you possess his qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But who does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forget not the benefits of salvation. Forget not, oh Lord. You see, praise the Lord, my innermost being. Bless the Lord, my innermost being. Forget not the benefits. Forget not God's benefits. Okay? But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. In other words, as our Lord Jesus speaks, when he's speaking about the secrets of the kingdom, as our Lord Jesus speaks, as the Holy Spirit within, writes within us, writes and communicates and gives us a revelation, as we receive that, make every effort as we receive that, as we are letting it be get established within us, more will be given. And remember what we saw then, Peter? As we walk in the more of what's been given, we walk in the more of the grace and peace, the abundance of grace and peace. We're experiencing more and more and more as we walk in the truth. Many believers do not experience much grace and peace because they're not walking in what they have really been received, so that they can get more, they can grow. Grace increases in their lives. Peace increases in their lives, okay? Because they're responding, they're letting it be established, and there's the fruit. And that whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken. So in this parable, Jesus spoke to all. So they had received, but because their hearts were hardened, they did not take it in. So although they received truth, they did not take it in. So it was now removed, because remember in the parable, the enemy comes because it fell on hard ground. So they had received the seed. They got some truth, but they didn't take it in. And straight away, it was taken away. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And that is why they speak in, he speaks in parables. And so we see the end as Jesus opens up that scripture over there. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So and this is the reality when we don't stop and let this word of God become established within us. There's no fruit. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. The Spirit of God communicates. We spend the time. There comes the understanding. We have received it. We now walk in it. The grace of God is flowing even more. The peace of God is our reality, guiding our heart and mind. And now we're walking more and more in the incredible truth that the Holy Spirit has shared with us over there. And as a result, we are now bearing more and more fruit for God. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And so, guys, this is the reality of what Peter is writing of him there. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge. The knowledge of God is not just head intellectual knowledge. It's relational knowledge. It's contact knowledge with God. And it produces a fruit because we walk with Him. We keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And then we become extremely fruitful for Him. That's where the rivers of living waters are flowing out of us. Okay. And so we are now walking in the way, the truth and the life. And when we walk in the way and truth in the life, there is fruit. When we look back, there is harvest, there's greenery, there is productivity from the Holy Spirit all around us, behind us, and so forth. And so that's important for us to just be encouraged there. And that's why he goes on that if we possess these in increasing measure, they will keep you. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling. In other words, make sure that you are taking what God has spoken and getting established in what He is speaking. Make sure. Don't ignore this truth that the Spirit of God is saying. Make every effort to make sure that you're getting established in the truth and of God. And then it carries on there. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Incredible. And that's why then he then concludes and he says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth. You now have, so there's, if you receive truth, they're established in that. He's releasing more truth so that they can grow more and more as the Spirit writes on their hearts. As Jesus writes his letter on the hearts. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. So that is what I want to share with you this morning. Just so that you and I take the time and go back to that incredible Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not the benefits. And I just find that I think many of you can just testify the importance of where we just take the time to reflect and to give thanks to God. And that's what communion is about this morning as well. It's not just a communion. Remember, whatever Jesus, I mentioned, whatever Jesus, teaching the instructions of Jesus is always life. Religion will have it, so it's a ritual. And that we're not in religion, we're out of religion, we've been set free from religion. And as we have communion, it's, we want to bless the Lord, we want to celebrate, we want to not forget the benefits of salvation. And that's what we wanted to do this morning. So guys, fruitful time, as we learn and as we grow in all of us. So let's pray before we just have a time of celebrating the Lord's death and resurrection. So Father, first of all, how can we forget? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ability to keep on reminding us. Thank you for the incredible work of yours within us. Thank you, Jesus. And as we eat this morning, we break the bread, as we drink the wine, it's a celebration of what you have done and how you have involved us and brought us into the reality of what you have done. So we want to praise you. We want to celebrate. We want to give thanks this morning, Father, for your goodness, for your glory, and for your goodness. We want to give you thanks, Father, for your incredible divine power working within us, manifesting your very nature within us, because we have your Holy Spirit. We want to celebrate that oneness with your nature, this incredible miracle of being born again. We want to celebrate that although we were flesh gave birth to flesh, the time came when spirit gave birth to spirit. So we want to celebrate life in the spirit. We want to thank you for the incredible power of your Holy Spirit working within us. We want to thank you for the law of the spirit that gives life. We want to thank you that we've been set free from the dominion of darkness. We've been set free from the authority of sin, from the authority of the law, from the consequences of disobeying the law. We've been set free because in you, Jesus, all the requirements of the law have been fully met in us. So we want to thank you for the freedom that we have. We want to thank you that we can now walk with you, Holy Spirit, and find as we walk with you, we are not at all being enslaved to the sinful passions and desires. We are totally free. We can serve you. We can be so fruitful. We can have our hearts on your heart and on your thoughts and be so one with you in touching the lives of people and just bringing glory and honor to God, our Heavenly Father. So we want to celebrate this morning. Thank you for the power of your blood that has cleansed us, free of any guilt and condemnation, washed our consciences clean, set us free, totally. But not only that, your blood, Jesus, was the price, was the ransom that came and paid the price for our freedom. And so we have been set free from this incredible dominion, from sin, but also from Satan's hold over us. We're totally free from all of that, and we are your children. Totally, 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 your children, Father. You are our Father. We've been born of you. You've put your seed in us. And we want to thank you. How great is your love that you've poured on our lives that we should be called your children. So we celebrate that this morning, Father. There's so much more that we can look when we look back in our lives and we see the journey, we see your involvement, we see the grace of yours. We want to celebrate. So we want to thank you today for refreshing time, for the Holy Spirit just refreshing our minds and our souls, just setting our minds free from focusing on the bad memories, focusing on the negative, and seeing your glorious goodness of salvation, the package of salvation, the effects of salvation in our lives through your Son Jesus. And we receive that. So Jesus, thank you so much. You are incredible. And so we eat together with you. We celebrate together with you. We understand how you were so eager after your death and resurrection to once again eat the communion with us. And we're having it now together in the heavenly realms. We can just eat together with you, celebrating the new life, celebrating the freedom, celebrating the victory. Oh, Father, you are awesome. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Let's have communion as you just enjoy giving praise to God there.